What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Kenny, we'll get some of the ticket texts, and I'll go to the phones in a second. But just asking, all right, let's just for clean purposes, Tigers at 100 games. What is the one word you would describe that first 100 games of the season as we hit the All-Star break? For me, it's maddening. They were never horrible. They were never the White Sox. They were never the Marlins. They were never the Angels. But they were never good. And I believe now they've shown this life and then, you know, some of the cardiac cat stuff. And you're like, you know, if you guys would have gone out and spent some damn money, and if you would have drafted someone who had hit puberty already and could be here, this team would be 5-6 games better. And the conversation would be totally different. Maddening is my word. Because I still feel like they're trading Flaherty, and how could I believe we're going to go on a magic run? Stoney's, the word is wild to me, but Stoney's is psychotic.
Because of delusions, and you're hallucinating when you watch them play sometimes. It goes from one extreme to the other.
Kenny Cott, what do the ticket texters have to say?
Got a bunch of ticket texts here. One saying just frustrating, simply frustrating.
All right, that's similar to mine.
Yeah, intriguing is another one. A team with no potential doesn't madden me. This team is so close, and that's the frustrating part. So frustrating is my word.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They are close. And it's why at the start of the year, here, I'm dumb guy. I thought they'd win 85 games. And if that's why I wanted to bring bats in, that's why I wanted Wyatt Langford. It was the idea of you're not as far away as you think because the pitching is real. Nobody's a bigger fan of Skubal than me, but I'm also willing to listen on any player when my team is not winning a World Series. He also got screwed, by the way. He should be starting the All-Star game tomorrow night, but we'll talk about that later.
Yes.
He got screwed.
By the way, breaking political news.
I'm
just going to say that since then, no comment, Donald Trump says J.D. Vance, the Ohio senator, will be his vice president. Joel. Candidate.
Okay. Can he hit the fastball?
He's JD.
Because Chase Young can't. I don't know if you looked at his minor league numbers. Go look at what he's hitting with fastballs over 94 miles an hour.
Not Chase, JD. JD Vance.
Somebody call JD Vance. Can he play third?
Can he play middle infield?
Yeah, something. Can he play short and be not a negative war player? Kenny, go ahead, and then we'll get to the callers.
The winner in the clubhouse by far is Sneaky. We got Sneaky about 100 times when we introduced the topic.
And I think there's a lot of truth to that. Look, we have said this from jump. If they got into the playoffs, nobody would want to face them. Because the three-headed monster in a short series of Flaherty and Skubal and Olsen. But again.
Oh, and then you got Maeda coming out of the bullpen.
Okay, I think we can move on from that.
He did look good yesterday out of that bullpen.
Let's go to Joe, 97.1. Joe, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Mikey. How you doing?
I'm good, pal. What's on your mind?
Not much. You know, you're talking about the Tigers. You were talking about Friday night. When I'm watching, you know, I don't like AJ Hinch. I don't think he's a good manager. And I'm going to tell you why. Okay? Because I think, like, when he didn't walk Ohtani for that ground rule double, was it the eighth inning maybe? Seventh inning? Eighth inning. You got to walk the guy, okay? You have to walk the guy. He's the best hitter. I mean, I'm 41 years old. I've ever seen in my life. You got to walk the guy. He didn't. We should have swept that series, okay? Now, you want to talk about the Saturday when it was 9-4. They came a miraculous comeback. That's fine, okay? But I'm talking like close games when, you know, he goes out there and doesn't walk Ohtani with a guy on, I think it was first base. I mean, you got to be kidding me right now. AJ Hinch is not a good manager. I'm telling you guys. Like, he didn't do anything in Arizona, okay? Now, of course, they're banging garbage cans in Houston, and they won the World Series. Congratulations. You're the best team of all time, okay? He hasn't done anything for this team. He's not a good manager.
All right, so Look, I would just meet you in the middle, and if you want to say you don't believe he's a top five manager in the sport, fine. Maybe some of the luster's off. But for you to say he's a bad manager, I can't do that. He doesn't have the tools to work with. Yes, the Ohtani thing, or hey, you know, the weird decision in Cleveland to let David Fry, who's got like an 1,100 OPS against lefties, and right. You got Chafin in the game. Yeah. Hey, there's some mistakes, and I hear you loud and clear, Joe. But
hey, Mikey, go ahead. Mikey, be honest with me, man. Like, well, what has he done? He's been here 3-4 years now. Like, what has he done?
Yeah, but what has he had? Let's be honest here. Now, hold on. When Scott Harris shops for the groceries and says, I'm bringing you a six-pack of Urshela, what kind of meal you putting on the table here?
Hey, Mikey, I get it. You know, but the point is that, like, if you're a great manager, look what Terry – okay, I'll stop that. Look what Terry Francona did with Cleveland. Like, these guys – like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're a great manager...
I'll give you an example. I want to give you an example. I do. Look at the end of last year. And I know no one paid any attention because the Lions were playing. But when you look at the last 6-8 weeks of the year, Hinch, with roster flexibility, the ultimate money ball approach, he was pulling all the right strings. And it was a miracle to get them to 78 wins. Okay, this year the flexibility's not really there. It's just not.
No.
They don't have enough good ball players. I blame Scott Harris. That makes me a bad person. So be it. But you got to have talent. You can't fake your way to 90 wins.
No, it's a long season. It's 162 freaking games. And you know, the Ohtani thing, yeah, it was bad, but you know, he was 0-for-4 in the game, so he was having a bad
I'm a slap with Ohtani, because yes. For me, I would treat him like Barry Bonds. I would never pitch.
Yeah,
I don't
disagree.
Mookie Betts didn't play.
Right.
Ohtani, just walk it down to first base. And again, I would treat him like Barry Bonds because I believe he is Barry Bonds, mm-hmm. Minus roids.
Mike, real quick, somebody said, I'm surprised your word isn't Langford.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know. Kenny, I'm trying. I'm trying to let go. I'm rooting for Max Clark and McGonagall, and we'll see in a few years. But yes, it's difficult, Kenny. Think about it. When they're on this tear, what would it have been like with Chapman and Wyatt? What would it be like? What would it look like?
Plus, Keith gets all that insulation. He can probably bat a little bit better. The lows aren't so low.
Maybe Torque actually could have hit.
And the highs would be higher. I'm sorry. I know that, you know, like the morning show does walleye. My word should just be Wyatt. I got to stop. I know I got to stop.
I noticed we've just been doing 20 minutes of this topic with no Langford, so I wanted to help you out.
Thank you. Kenny, I greatly appreciate that. I do. Personal growth. Cameron, 97.1. What's up, Cam?
Hi, Mike. I was originally going to lead with the word confusing to describe the Tigers, but I think a more appropriate one would be deceitful. And this is because Tigers right now are that one team in every sport, in every season, that shows their true colors for most of the season, but goes on a miraculous stretch and everyone starts changing their mind. And then they just fall back to usual and people are somehow surprised. Like a couple examples, even this last season in multiple sports. The Denver Broncos last year in the NFL, they went on that 5-0 stretch. They were white hot. They beat the Bills on Monday Night Football. They beat the Chiefs their first time in forever.
But they came into Ford Field and got their asses handed to them, didn't they?
Yeah, and then they fell off the face of the earth. Russ is benched for the last couple of games of the season, gets cut, and they're in full rebuild right now. In the NBA, around halfway through the season, the hottest team in the league was the Utah Jazz, who were terrible.
Yep.
I mean, obviously not terrible enough.
Yeah, it doesn't feel authentic. But I'm with you, Cam, and it's why frustrating is mine. The pitching has primarily been there. The offense has primarily been an atrocity, and you're left going, how could they have gone into the season and allowed it when they are close. Cam, they're close to being good. And that's so frustrating because they, again, you know, it's fine. I'm not mad when you're picking 11th or 12th and you take a high school shortstop like they did last night. But again, to Kenny's point, I would have viewed it like I've got a cheat code here. Wyatt Langford was a gift and I could inject that and make him a part of my core immediately. No, he's not Paul Skeens, but I mean, you drafted him and called him up. Like, yeah, Cam, it's frustrating. How could I not help my kids out and bring a veteran bat in here?
Do you think, and I'm not trying to make an excuse because he didn't draft him, do you think, especially at the time of the draft, Torque hadn't gotten hot yet, they were gun-shy towards he was maybe gun-shy towards a college bat? I don't know.
No, I think, first of all, you didn't draft the guy. He was drafted in a worldwide pandemic.
Yeah.
He had his, you know, Arizona State time cut short. There was no minor league baseball. They did rush him here. And look, maybe ultimately he's just not any good.
Right.
All right. There have been plenty of Matthew Bushes and Manny Maniacs.
Yes,
and you know, there's plenty of number one overall picks who just end up sucking. It happens. It sucks. The problem is the Tigers, both guys they took number one overall.
Right.
Neither of them are difference makers.
Correct.
So, no. I
and neither was Matt Anderson, if you want to go back another decade.
Sure. Yeah. I understand Scott Harris's approach. I don't have to agree with it.
Right.
Because I believed, as bad as Alavila was, they had a knack for finding pitching. And you inherited some serious pitching. And you inherited a couple of pieces. For very little money in the grand scheme of things, or no money, draft-wise, you could have expedited this without ever really costing yourself much.
Right.
And I'm just not big on wasting time and money. And I know it's not fair to Scott Harris. I know that. But we haven't made the playoffs in a decade. And I'm not giving away years of my life. And what you experienced Friday night is what we deserve.
Mm-hmm.
A full park. Comerica can be a magical place. A vibe. It's summer in Detroit. You want a baseball team. And it's like, I get resentful. I get spiteful. I do. I'm a bad person.
I don't blame you.
I mean, Dacron. 248-539-9797.
You're psychotic.
More of your phone calls next. We will touch the table on football later in the hour. It is a holiday in about 31 minutes as College Football 25 releases to the masses. How many people skipped work? How many relationships are falling to the wayside? Kenny broke up with his girl last night. He's cleared his deck. He is ready to go. Very exciting.
Ooh.
I know. I couldn't believe it.
Unbelievable.
Categorically untrue.
Okay, then. 97-1.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.